Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much asking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. Particularly the phrase in verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Vain repetitions. Now, the word Satan is interesting in that it is derived from the Hebrew verb meaning to oppose or to resist or to accuse. And in Revelation chapter 12 we see something of that revealed, where we see Satan in verse 10 being cast out of heaven to the earth. And I heard a loud voice, Revelation 12:10, saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast out, which accused them before our God day and night. That describes something that took place in the spiritual realm at the ascension of Jesus Christ. Satan finally cast out, and his realm from that time was utterly limited to this earth. And as you know, he is described as going up and down in the earth, and described as going about seeking whom he may devour. He is the accuser of the brethren, he resists the brethren, and he is opposed to them, to those who are the children of God. Accusing them, it says here, day and night. This is a continual business. And he accuses the brethren directly and indirectly in the presence of God, up to the point where he was cast out of heaven, or cast out of the outer courts of heaven. He had been cast out of heaven long before, but he appears in the book of Job in a situation which we find very difficult to understand, but he is there again in the presence of God. But we have to leave that aside for the moment and move on. The book of Job teaches us one thing about Satan, and that is that we worry about him far too much, and we give him far too much place, and we attribute to him far too much power to do as he wishes. The book of Job should teach us that we should not worry too much about Satan. That does not mean that we have not to be on our guard. We do very much so. But we must not give him more credit, as it were, than he deserves. He accuses the brethren and resists them and opposes them with the intention of discouraging them, with the intention of undermining them, and with the intention of depressing them, taking away their peace, taking away their joy. These things which have been purchased for them by the Lord Jesus Christ. He causes, if he can, he will cause a loss of assurance of our salvation. And if he can, he will paralyze our Christian life, paralyze our spiritual life, and paralyze our prayer life. These things, of course, were a drastic effect on our witness and our confidence in witnessing. If he can put in our minds doubts that we are actually believers, then obviously our confidence in witnessing is going to be reduced. Our confidence in witnessing is that we have tasted and we have found what we have tasted to be good. And we say to you, to those we witness to, come and taste, and you will not be disappointed. We say to them confidently, as Moses said to Hobab, come with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Now, there is no doubt at all that Satan's main attacks are on the Christian's prayer life. That is what Satan hates more than anything else about the person or the life or the routines of the Christian. He hates the Christian to be at prayer. And he will set out in every way possible to kill that aspect of the Christian's life. And very often, in order to do so, he will use wrong applications of scripture texts. Now, he did that even in the temptation of the Lord. He used a scripture text which told him that if he cast himself down, that the angels would watch over him so that he would not dash his foot against a stone. That was his temptation, using the word of God. And of course the Lord answered him with a correct use of the word of God. But Satan reserves, I feel, his strongest, his main attacks, his main accusations and resistings. He reserves these for the Christian's prayer life. If prayer life is being discouraged, if it's being reduced, if it's being undermined in its confidence, then be absolutely sure that Satan is in it. It's not just busyness. These things may be the means, but make no mistake, Satan is in it all along the way. Now I want to deal with one of these accusations tonight. One of the things which Satan charges Christians with, one of the ways in which he resists them and seeks to undermine their prayer life, he sees this, he does this by a certain accusation which I myself personally know very, very well indeed. And that is the accusation that I am using vain repetitions like the heathen. Now, first of all, what does the Lord mean by vain repetitions? He does not say, just use not repetitions. He doesn't say repetitions are out in prayer. That prayer must always have a great variety in it and a great amount of resourcefulness in the petitions we make. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying no repetitions. He is saying that we must not be like the heathen, using vain repetitions. What does the meaning, the literal meaning of this expression we have here translated, vain repetitions, is empty babblings. Usually things repeated without thought or without burden or even without a plea of heart. They are just empty of any spiritual activity. They are formulas or just phrases or perhaps rhymes learned off by heart, which is just repeated in a vain manner. There is nothing of spiritual burden in them. There is nothing of lifting our hearts in plea to God Himself who hears and who answers prayer. As if the prayer itself was effectual. As if the prayer itself, the formula that they are praying and perhaps repeating, as if it is some kind of magic spell. Vain, anything vain means empty. It is literally like so much wind. When we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, oh, vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. It is just like, as if he is saying, all these things are just so much wind. There is nothing in them. But it is just, people, these heathens get it into their heads that if these things are repeated often enough, that they will eventually prevail. The emphasis is on the prayer itself, on the formula they are repeating, not on the one to whom the prayer is addressed. Now we have to say that in the Roman Catholic religion, there is something of this deeply seated in that religion. And it is largely to do with the confessional, where people come with their, to confess their sins to the priest, and the priest gives absolution. Whatever he means by it, there is no doubt that the mass of these people believe that the priest is actually forgiving their sins. It's unavoidable that they will think that. But he gives absolution on the basis of some kind of penance. Not repentance, but penance. They have to perhaps put some money in the box, but more importantly, in our context tonight, they are told to say so many of the standard prayers. So many Hail Marys, perhaps 10 Hail Marys, and perhaps 10 Our Fathers, and money in the box, and the priest gives them absolution. Now these are vain repetitions. That's just using these prayers, using even the prayer the Lord Himself gave us in a way that is obviously wrong. It is empty. It is just given on the instruction of an earthly priest. And that priest coming between the soul and God. Our prayers should be simple, childlike. But they should always be rational. I mean by that we know what we are saying. We know what we are asking for. And we have no desire to adorn our prayers with anything. Because the emphasis of the prayer is not on its content so much as it is on the one to whom the prayer is addressed. Spurgeon himself used to speak about prayerless prayers. He used to say about some that he heard praying, sometimes I know, he says, that my brother is not really praying, but he is praying an empty prayer. Well, only somebody like Spurgeon would have the authority to say something like that. But it has a connection with what we are speaking about tonight. That it is possible to pray to other worlds and for these prayers not to be addressed to God. We read about the Pharisee in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Read that the Pharisee stood and prayed to himself. Now that's very telling. Now, our focus must not be the prayer itself, but the one to whom the prayer is addressed to. He not only hears our prayer, but as it says in the passage, he knows before we ask. Why do we pray if he knows what we ask for before we ask it? Because prayer gives God his place. The very act and attitude, the very appeal and plea of prayer raised up to God acknowledges that God is in control. God is able to answer our prayer, and that attitude glorifies God. Now, secondly, repetitions are inevitable and essential and good in prayer. I'm not saying vain repetitions are good and inevitable and essential. I am saying that repetitions are inevitable, that they are essential, and that they are good. Is it not true that the heaviest burdens upon our hearts are long-term ones? The heaviest burdens are not just the cares of today, which, of course, we must bring to God, even the smallest things. But the heaviest burdens, surely, are the ones which are long-term. Long-term trials. Long-term heartaches, and very often prayers which concern our loved ones. And most of these prayers are long-term. They involve a long haul. And we must be willing to haul and haul and haul to the very end. Even if we do not see an answer in this life, we never give up as long as we are in this life. But there is going to come a day that will declare whether all these prayers were answered, even after we are gone. I believe that many of them will. I believe that the Lord very often withholds his answers to our prayers until after we are gone. There are reasons for that which it would perhaps make this too long if I went into tonight. But he does these things with a good purpose. It is possible for us to make bad use of an answer to prayer. It is very easy to take the glory to ourselves to tell all about it. It's very difficult to tell all about it and still give the glory to God. But the day will declare it. That long hall of prayers is a long, long string of repetitions. The same prayer day after day, morning and night, and probably noon as well. But there's another aspect to that. And that is this, that the longer we persevere with a certain prayer, the more we show our faith. Now we have to think about this a bit. Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians that though we have all faith so that we could remove mountains and have not charity, we are nothing. So that means that the prayer that glorifies God is not the prayer which is asked and then the prayer is answered immediately. Even as parents, we often know better than that. We know better than to just give our children everything they want immediately they ask for it. And our Heavenly Father surely knows that even better than we do. The fact of the matter is that it is the long prayer. Prayer that goes on for 40, 50, 60 years. And there are prayers which have been raised. The same prayer day after day after day, morning, noon and night for 60 years. I believe there are such. In some people's experience. It is a sign of weak faith. Surely if we give up, if there is no quick answer, it takes strong faith to continue in prayer. It shows we believe that God does hear. It's not that he is not answering because he doesn't hear. If we continue, it means that we believe that he does hear and that he is able and that we refuse to believe otherwise. Now, so we have prayers, repetitions. And there is none of us who doesn't feel that. But in our prayers, we find ourselves praying the same prayer, day after day after day. What happens? Satan comes in and accuses us at this point. And he may use scripture. And he will say to us, these are vain repetitions. Vain repetitions. Your prayers, same prayers every day. But they are not. They are repetitions. But they are not vain repetitions. Far, far from it. He will make us conscious, deeply conscious of the repetitiveness of our prayers. He will bring that before us again and again, and he will insinuate the discouraging thoughts. My prayers are just vain repetitions. He will put that in if he possibly can. But we must remember that he is twisting the scripture That is not what the scripture says. The scripture says, use not vain repetitions. Any prayer, I can tell you, that has gone on for years and years and years, pleading with God the same thing every day, is no vain repetition. It is an essential repetition. It is an inevitable repetition, and it is a good repetition. And it is pleasing to God, and it glorifies God. We must not be diverted on this particular point. We must persevere in our prayers to the end. And through the end, knowing that the Lord may answer after we have gone. Many a prayer for a child has been answered after the parent is gone. Many a child has been prayed for, their souls prayed for years and years and years by a parent, and they are saved after the parent is gone. But they will not miss out on it. The day will declare it. The day will declare that repetitive prayer, that prayer over 40, 50 years was good and pleasing to God, and that it received an answer. All the time, keeping your focus. The focus is not the prayer itself. The focus is the God to whom we address it. That's what makes it prayer. That's what changes it from a vain repetition to a prayer. The fact that it's focused on God. It is a plea towards God. We sometimes speak in general terms of it, praying for the Lord's work. Prayer is the Lord's work. I don't think there is anything that is more the Lord's work than prayer. Certainly, there is nothing that I know in this life that is harder to sustain. The reason is that Satan is there to discourage, to undermine, and to accuse. And are we going to give him the victory? No, we are not. We are going to continue with our prayers, with these repetitions which are full of our pleadings and which are indeed pleasing to God. They are anything but vain repetitions. And it seems to me, thirdly, that the Lord is even encouraging repetition in this passage, particularly in the manner of prayer. Listen to what he says. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Worried sometimes about the sameness, substance, or in manner, or in plan. The Lord says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is the same word. After this manner, that phrase is just one word in the original. And it is the same word as it's translated in John 3:16. So. That word, God so loved the world. God in this manner loved the world. So, when Jesus is saying, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, he is using the same phrase as he uses in John 3:16, for God in this manner loved the world. He is laying down here surely something which is mapping out or describing to us prayer. After this manner, pray ye. The same way as in John 3:16, he is mapping out the way God saved the world, the way God loved the world. Pray in this manner, he says. What follows is not a scheme of prayer, as we might have expected with the word manner. We might have thought, well, here is a scheme. Here is just an outline. Here is not the actual petitions, but perhaps the headings for our petitions. But it's not that. What follows is an actual prayer. We may use these words and phrases in the Lord's Prayer, as we often do. We often import these phrases into our prayers. And we may use the prayers themselves, in the whole of them, in order to pray to God. But we must not use any of them mechanically. There must be the focus. God is the focus. Prayer is addressed to him. It is our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. The focus of the prayer is made clear from the start. So, we must never allow ourselves to be discouraged from prayer by Satan's accusation that we are using vain repetitions simply because our prayers are repetitive. What I am saying to you tonight is, rather than think, or rather than agree with Satan that your repetitive prayers are vain repetitions, that you say to him, if he puts that thought in your mind, that you turn to him and you say, Satan, repetitions, yes, but that's not what the scripture says. What the scripture says is vain repetitions. My repetitions are not vain because I am addressing them to my heavenly Father. Our gracious God, we thank thee for the richness of thy word, for its instruction. We thank thee for its balance and for its accuracy, that clear in these words we're looking at tonight. We thank thee that this is a book of truth. We pray that thou wilt enable us, Lord, to persevere in prayer. That hardest work of all, that most difficult thing to sustain, help us, Lord, to establish it and to sustain it. And no matter how often we fail, how often we fall, that we continue and continue and persevere to the end, knowing that the day will declare it. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.